Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 7:05, December the 10th, 2010. We got about 14 shopping days till Christmas. Well, you have, I guess, 15 if you decide Christmas Day, if you get up real early and you run down to 7-Eleven and get some cookies. Carl Bott, Linda Bott, welcome aboard. We've got a good show today. We always have good shows, but today we've got Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito will be on at 8 o'clock. But we've got a lot of things to talk about before then. But mainly what we do is we introduce our crew here of Bad Bob.
And good morning, sir.
Bad Bob speaking for the thousands of people out there that are helping to put this show on right now.
Legions.
Okay, Bad Bob, I have to ask. I know you know, Bad Bob does things. And he does it just to make me ask, what the heck are you doing? Okay, Bad Bob, what is this one?
Well, in order to let you see the chat room and me also see the chat room, I was bringing in two different computers, and so I brought in a keyboard so I can kind of simplify my workspace here and try to keep it away from your dangerous coffee cup.
That's a foldy keyboard.
The blue plastic keyboard.
It's a roll-up.
It rolls up.
Yeah, but where's it plugged in?
This little laptop up here.
Oh.
This place looks like, NASA with all the display screens we have going these days. That's modern radio.
Yeah, our first rule is because we're getting ready next Tuesday to celebrate our first year on the air, was don't cut the red wire, don't press F12 without permission, and the other one is don't touch any computer that you did not bring in personally.
You forgot. Take a deep breath.
Yeah, take a deep breath. Hey, speaking of taking a deep breath and running with it, here she is.
Oh, boy.
I love your segues. Okay, they're classic. And no, there wasn't any bargaining there going. Currently 54 degrees, in case you're just tuning in. It's 7:07 in the morning. 50% chance of showers today.
Unless you're standing outside right now, then it becomes 100.
It's going to be a calm wind with a high of near 58, but a 40% chance of showers tonight. Mostly cloudy with a low of around 49 degrees. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. I hope you join us tonight. I know it's going to be crazy mad Christmas parties, but let me tell you what tonight is at Anselmo Vineyards. Candace Lavolsi, Rick Hill, Bruce Kalin, Dan Kinkle, Johnny Gonzalez, and myself. And we are going to do an eclectic thing of each person doing their own jazz, and then we'll come together and do a culmination of, some Christmas music. It'll be a great night, 6 to 9 tonight. Guess what happened on this day in history? A little history before we go there. But first, each year on the anniversary of the death of Alfred Nobel, the prizes bearing his name are awarded to those persons who shall have contributed most materially to the benefit of mankind during the year immediately preceding Alfred Bernard Nobel, who died on this day in 1896. And the first of the Nobel Prizes was presented in 1901 according to his instructions in his will. I think this is really great because a lot of us are like, okay, Nobel Peace Prize. What is it about? Nobel chose the method to ease his conscience after inventing the deadly explosive dynamite. One of the richest men in the world, he also felt it would be wrong to leave his fortune to relatives, explaining inherited wealth is a misfortune which merely serves to dull man's faculties. So instead of wishing you had a rich relative, get out there and do something good for man and womankind today, and every day for that matter. Well, but, so that's interesting. He invented dynamite, made fortunes, and thought, for those people who do great in the world, Nobel Peace Prize. Okay, now who's the youngest who ever received the Nobel Peace Prize?
The youngest? I don't know.
I have the information right here. And I'm looking it up because I know that it was Martin Luther King.
Oh.
1964, became a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. He was the youngest person to have won the award. What am I saying? Is it Nobel Peace Prize?
Peace Prize.
What am I saying?
Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, because it's early. but you know what I'm talking about. Nobel, let me get this. Nobel Peace Prize. Moving back in time, 1910, tenor Enrico Caruso and conductor Ettore Toscanini were featured at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City for the world premiere of Puccini's The Girl of the Golden West. Try to say that. And in 1930, Duke Ellington and his orchestra recorded the haunting Mood Indigo on Victor Records. It became one of Duke's most famous standards.
You know, today they're awarding the Nobel Peace Prize. And the winner of this year, a gentleman by the name of Liu Xiaobo, I can't pronounce it because it's Chinese, are not allowed to attend the ceremony in Oslo awarding Liu the Nobel Peace Prize because the Chinese have him locked up. So they have an empty chair sitting there so it will be awarded. The Chinese are quite upset about this, and in fact, yesterday awarded their own Formosa Peace Prize to one of their people that said that brought peace between Taiwan and the mainland.
Oh, yes, I'm not sure.
The Confucius Prize. and you have to be Confucius to figure out why they did that, because there is no peace between Taiwan and the mainland.
Who didn't show up
the mainland?
Oh,
I don't know. Anyway, hey, look, we got to take a break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:15, December the 10th, 2010. I know you're saying, I know what day it is. I just wasn't sure what year it was.
You know what our conversation was at the break? Let's just talk about hard-boiled eggs.
Okay, how hard is it to boil
an
egg?
How many people have bought eggs, hard-boiled them, and not every time? I mean, like some people say, my mother's perfect 8-minute hard-boiled eggs. Are they perfect every time, or have you ever put hard-boiled eggs on the stove and walked out of the room and went, oh, I forgot the eggs were on?
2 days later, came back?
No, not that long. But the last thing you want to do is hear your spouse or whoever you boiled them for complain. Now,
have you ever tried to take the shell off a hard-boiled egg, and by the time you're finished, the only thing that's left is one little piece of yellow?
How about taking those shells and just...
Yeah, got it. Hey, we have a shout out for Barbara Harrison.
Yeah, Barbara.
Here.
Everyone, she has Barbara. I promised I was going to do this, and we want to make sure everybody listens and can do this. Take your kids' letters to Santa at Macy's to deposit in the Macy's special red mailbox today, and Macy's is going to donate double their donation for this one day. Then you can go and get a cup of coffee from Dutch Brothers, and they are going to donate $1 for every drink sold. That's this Friday, December 10th, at all Reading and Palisadro stores. So that's really cool. All the letters that go in today, for each letter that goes into that red mailbox in a Macy's, take your kids in today for their letters to Santa. Macy's is going to double their donation for all the how many letters there are to make a wish. So, Barbara, we appreciate you informing us, and that we get a chance to make this announcement, if we get a chance in the next hour, for those people who are taking their kids to school as well, we'll make that announcement again.
Well, you know, as long as we're talking about, you know, things that people do for people around here, you know, it's on the front page of Record Searchlight, but he's one of us also, Carl Hawkins and his wife, Elizabeth. They are doing they're putting on a fundraiser, but it's the Homespun Crafts Fair on Saturday and Sunday, this Saturday and Sunday, and also December 18th and 19th inside the former Ashley Furniture Homespun store on Churn Creek. Craft Fair is going to go from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday. Carl's got a show on here around the house on Sundays, and is a local contractor and builder. And they have, I would never say it unless it was already in the paper, and he has said this, is that they had a local builder showroom, and it was a really great-looking showroom. It let local contractors put out examples of their work. It had to shut down this year because of the economy. There's, you know, nothing's being built. Anyway, Carl and Elizabeth could have just pulled back from this, but they chose not to, and they jumped into this and are putting on this crafts fair. And the funds that will be raised will go to the Good News Rescue Mission. It will also benefit Cub Scout Pack 41 and the Shasta Meadows Elementary School Parent Teachers Organization. They raised about $3,000 last year, which is significant for a mission that needs every dollar. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know about it, and I'm sure you know Carl will be talking about it. But I wanted also just to let everybody know is that it's going to start tomorrow, and it's going to be next weekend too, and it's going to be at the former Ashley Furniture Store on Churn Creek, and it's going to start 10 a.m. It's going to go to 7 p.m. Saturday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday. And they're going to have vendors selling jewelry, handcrafted wood items, furniture, food, and visits with Santa Claus. So here's a chance to go on out and do something. You know, a couple that have had some tough times, but yet are still out there punching. They're still moving forward. They haven't given up. Congratulations there, Carl and Elizabeth. Now, you know, certain things that have happened. Like yesterday we got into it about the Tom Armolino, the school board. Giving him a 10.8% raise, taking him from $142,000 up to $159,000 or $157,000, something, $15,000 raise. The amount of consternation that, you know, in this story was in the Record Searchlight. The amount of consternation, of course, on the commenters and the bloggers was quite strong. Well, with an update on the story, Tom turned down the raise. And we were quite concerned ourselves yesterday because, hey, to give a raise at this point, that much money, when we're shutting down school programs, the junior ROTC program, or taking away other programs, cutting classes, you know, teachers, the whole shooting match, and the Shasta County School Board votes this. And even saying in the article, oh, we know that this is probably not going to look too good in this time. And one person, I believe it's Susie Wilson, said, I wish we could give him more. You know, the Record Searchlight also had a little opinion piece in it this morning, as they said, well, if you want to show your appreciation, how about baking him a pie? You know, this whole thing yesterday, you know, I just, the only thing I hope is that, as usual, we'll, you know, and many times we have short memories. But when you start looking at the problems we're having in our education system and where the money's going and things like this, and this kind of unanimous, it wasn't, you know, 3-2, you know, 4-3, it wasn't that. It was a unanimous to vote him a raise and themselves a raise, which I don't see them pushing it back. But, you know, you talk about $180 a month, so. But still, the idea that they would do this and after the elections, you know, if you wanted to, you know, if you really want to get some consternation going, why don't you say, hey, look, we want to give him a 11% raise before the elections and see what happens. Anyway, Tom ran unopposed. He does a great job. He's a man of honor, integrity. You know, I think, though, when they were mentioning this, that perhaps the superintendent of schools might have said, you know, you might want to save yourself a lot of flame all over your rear ends by not doing this. Okay. You know what? You know, things that happen. Oh, wait a minute. We'll take a break. We'll get back on schedule here. We come back. Is how come we hear so much about GM paying back what they owe us? And they're all great success, but you don't hear about Ford. We're going to talk about Ford here in a minute when we get back. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:25, December the 10th. We're rocking here. Somebody asked a question in the chat room, and the chat room is up at KCNR1460.com, or call us 605-4567. Well, what did President Obama get it for? And I believe it was for his vision and his outlook and his ideas. I think that's what diplomacy it said there. His diplomacy and his vision and outlook.
What was that?
Oh, wait a minute. What was that? That must have been some of those ideas have been really interesting, huh? Come on now. Let's be nicer than that. Play it one more time. Okay, all right, okay, that's enough. Okay, remember how President Obama...
I need that.
Yeah. You know, all these great ideas. Like, remember how we gave billions and billions of dollars to GM? And then they made a big thing. President Obama makes his announcement. He goes to the plant and says, hey, GM is starting to pay back that money that we loaned them. In the meantime, Ford, who turned down the money and has been silently just being a success. Right now, the latest is that they're investing in a Kentucky plant, and they're going to invest $600 million to overhaul a Kentucky plant to make the next generation of its Escape small SUV. And Ford said on Thursday construction on the plant would begin this month and include a new body shop. It's scheduled to reopen in late 2011, will add 1,800 auto workers for a total workforce of about 2,900 working two shifts. Oh, well, wait a minute. How did Ford do this? They didn't take money from the government. They sat there and said, you know what? We believe in the American system. We believe that we can do this. And they just went ahead and did it. My God. You know what? If you want to talk about things that work, maybe instead of Obama going to a GM plant that we bailed out, and did you ever know that you were going to own GM stock? Well, you do. Why doesn't he go to Ford and say, hey, how'd you guys do this? There's somebody that should be on your group of economic advisors, not a bunch of people who have never run a business in their life and do nothing but teach and talk about it. A Ford spokesman said the need for more workers at the Louisville facility is expected to lead to about 1,000 new hires at its U.S. plants also. The new hires will make about $14.50 per hour, roughly half as much as most veteran hourly workers represented by the United Auto Workers.
It's a job.
Their lower wage was negotiated in 2007 between U.S. automakers and UAW. So, anyway, there are Ford's plant near Kansas City, Missouri, currently builds the Escape, will continue to do so. Anyway, the new Missouri plant will get a new product based on a truck platform. So, you know, that plant employs 3,700. Hey, how about a round of applause for Ford? You know, if you want to take a look at a success story, let's look at Ford. You know, they fought it off. They've come through. They're rebuilding. They're getting bigger. You know what? Hooray for Ford. Okay. Now, about a minute left. Let's catch some runs real quick before we bring on our first guest.
Go ahead.
Did you see what happened? You know, they're rioting over in England with the education problems they have. You know, they're raising the tuition, right?
Yeah.
And so what happens is Prince Charles
and
Lady
his.
Camille are driving, and they get to him. They get to him. We've got 30 seconds left. The rioters get to him, attack the car, throwing paint or yelling off with their heads. They get to the car.
Well, they've gotten him out of the car.
Yeah, I tell you what, nobody was injured. But what in the hell is the security thinking that lets the prince and his wife, that people get that close, that angry?
We're going to be back with a really special story right after these messages. Carla Lindebard here on KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Carl and Linda this Friday morning. This is Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. We are delighted to be here. This portion of the show is brought to you by Mike's Music and Sound. A wonderful new discovery for me, located at 924 Cypress Avenue. I mean, Bob, you've been there before. They have a whole, like, DJ.
I was surprised, and I do this stuff. I was surprised at the breadth of stock that they have there, and they helped me out during a event where I really needed some items, and they went the extra mile, so kudos to them. Local business, buy it. Go there before you go to eBay or whatever.
There you go. Very cool. And also, if you're looking to, and we're going to be talking about music in just a moment, but if you're thinking of buying an instrument for your kid or for your husband or your somebody in your family or a friend, making somebody's dream come true with learning an instrument, they throw in, they do special packages where you can take lessons when you they'll get lessons along with the instrument. But before we go into our very special guest, you guys don't want to go anywhere because you're going to hear something that's really special from a young woman here in Reading and this great opportunity she has. We're going to go to the phones and we're going to talk to somebody who's special as well. Amy Palko, good morning and welcome to the show. And what is the tip of the week?
Good morning. Well, you know, we've got holiday sweets and holiday treats all around us right now with the Christmas and New Year's coming up. And this is when most people say, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. And they kind of blow their whole eating well plan. But this is exactly the time of year when we undo all of that hard work we've done in the spring and in the summer. And it seems to be that the National Institute of Health states that Americans gain about a pound over the holiday season. And if you're gaining a pound every year over the next 10 years, it's an easy way to put on 10 pounds. But not to fear, there's still some foods that you can eat and have fun and rev up your metabolism. So, for instance, in the morning, egg whites are a great, great protein, plus they help rev that metabolism. And then you can even have, say, a serving of cheese. Yes, I did say cheese. You can use it for, like, a flavor agent. Don't go too much, one serving. That's also a great way to help rev the metabolism. Almonds, 12 almonds, great little way to kind of stave off that hunger in between meals. Green tea is also an excellent, excellent food to use. And you know what? The chili peppers, a lot of people have heard about capsaicin, which is the little thing that gives peppers their kick. Adding that to your food. And of course, you know what, guys? Coffee. Coffee's a great way, too, to rev the metabolism up. It's only about 15%, but it could torch an extra 15 or 25 calories. And if you're not a coffee drinker, there's great products like Therma Excel that we sell with Got Fit and or Extreme Workout. So there's a lot of little tips in there that you can still enjoy some foods and have some fun and rev that metabolism up because we don't want to look like Santa.
Well, I'm glad to see is that you say.
No, we don't want to look like Santa.
You don't want to change your, you know, those eating habits too much. I'm happy to know that Bad Bob and myself will not be changing our eating habits at all during the holidays.
That's not true.
And the unfortunate thing is that we have found that there's been 20 holidays a year.
We had hard boiled eggs this morning. You missed the conversation.
No, we had parts of hard boiled eggs, Amy. You know, I had one little piece
the
of
the kind
of,
that was edible. I ate the whole thing, but you know.
That's well.
When you're a colonel, you're used to people peeling your eggs for you. So.
Okay. Well, you know the thing about it is we did run into eggs like this before, but they were attached to IEDs, which is okay. Or they looked like they'd been with an IED.
Mwah.
Yeah.
Amy, thank you so much.
Adamson's Peak Performance, great place to go to. You meet people like Amy and
Amy can put you on a really wonderful regimen.
Yeah. I tell you what, she can, if she can't knock weight off, it cannot be done.
And you know what? Tell everybody to challenge themselves. Try not to gain that 1 pound this year.
That's right. We've already skipped that part. Yeah.
Right.
I'm up to 2018 right now as far as okay. Thanks a lot, Amy.
Amy Palko, thanks so much. No. Adamson's Peak Performance, it really is our choice to go. We got to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to meet a very, very special young woman who is a spectacular musician selected. Well, I'm not going to go into more detail. We're going to take a break. Hang in there, and you're going to hear a fantastic story. Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:42 in the morning, December the 10th. Yeah, it's getting close, huh? This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Right off of Airport Road, Doug Tooley's been in business since 1985. He's going to give you Dish Satellite. He's got rebates right now, my friends, that you go down and you give him a call at 244-1988, 244-1988, and you're going to get free HDTV. And with the rebates, free HDTV during the holidays, and look at all those football games coming on and everything. So that's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite. Give him a call. Local guy, does great work. We use him at our home, 244-1988.
In the studio with us right now is a beautiful young woman, and we here love to support up-and-coming artists who work hard and... This wonderful artist's name is Katie Wallace. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Okay. Katie, you have been chosen to play and perform at the Philharmonic Concert Hall in Beijing, China. Can you tell our listeners, let's pretend people are in and out of their car, they're driving their kids to school. Can you give us a little history about who you are, what your instrument is, and how you were chosen among how many people?
I don't know. Just mainly Barry Green students. Barry Green is the teacher of the group, so he chose some of his students to go. Not all of them could go.
Right. Because, okay. And but I understand that there's just a few that get to go across America. They get to go on this trip and play in the Philharmonic.
Well, Barry Green, he's world renowned. He's a really amazing bass player, bass teacher, and the people from the conservatories over there said, "Hey, why don't you and some of your students come and play for us and play with some of our orchestras?" And that's kind of how it all came about.
So, Katie, we're curious about when we say the bass. We were just talking about this with your mother, and you play what they call the double bass.
Yes.
And I, being in the music business for years, I've always just called it acoustic, stand-up bass. Bruce Kalin is, you know, the stand-up bass, acoustic bass player in my mind. So how does the term double bass come, and how did you pick this instrument of all the instruments to play?
Well, I think the term double bass is just a more formal way of saying it, because there's so many different bass instruments out there. If you just say, "Oh, I play the bass," they say, "Well, what type of bass? Do you play, you know, bass drum, bass saxophone?" There's just so many instruments with the term bass in it, so it's good to say stand-up or double bass if you want to be.
And how did you choose that instrument?
I think it was really just kind of a God thing, because I didn't think I really even knew what it was. I just ended up choosing it.
And you're tall.
Yes.
Tell our listeners.
I'm 5'10 and a half.
Okay. And this lovely picture of the postcard. And we have you in because, A, we want to congratulate you on being selected. And you are going to be... When is the China trip?
March 31st through April 10th.
And I've heard from your mother you are going to be studying in four conservatories.
Yes. Yes, we are. We're going to be playing with some of them there and also doing some concerts by ourselves.
Okay, well, this is the beginning of many times that we will, you know, help to get the word out there. We're having a fundraiser. It's a murder mystery benefit dinner. So you want to mark your calendar for January 9th. We're giving you plenty of time to, you know, before you know it, January 9th is only about 3 weeks off. It just blows my mind. So it's a murder mystery benefit dinner, and there are going to be two shows. There'll be a matinee at 11 and the evening performance at 6. Going to be a lasagna dinner and a raffle, and this is at the Senior Citizens Hall on Benton Drive. So we really want to all get together to help Katie get to Beijing. Tickets are going to be available at Clyde's Entertainment, Bernie's Guitar, the Brass Reed, Hot Cut Salon, and of course Leatherby's Family Creamery. What will be some of the pieces of music that you'll be playing? Selections, do you know yet?
We haven't chosen any yet, but during when people are coming in, we're hoping to get a classical group together to play, like maybe me and some of my friends from the symphony. And then during intermission, we're hoping to have a little jazz group play.
What school do you attend?
I attend Shasta Homeschool.
All right.
Okay. And yeah. And how long, you know, I don't know if you asked, I didn't catch it if you did, but how long have you been playing this?
I've been playing the bass for a little over 5 years.
Okay.
How yeah. wonderful.
And how old are you?
I'm 16.
Okay. I know, it's a, and the, but the ability to play as well as you do, a lot of people have, you know, have the qualities and the ability to do that, like Linda to sing, and I've seen other people play all different types of instruments, anywhere from the, of course, the classic guitar to harmonicas. And it's always good to meet and to hear, listen to somebody that's really, really very good at what they do.
So you picked the instrument up when you were 11 years old.
Yeah, I think I was that old.
And so to think at that age to have this commitment to, I mean, this is like the creme de la creme to have been chosen to go play with the Philharmonic in Beijing, China. This is huge. This is life-altering. This is like, wow. And I know that when I was in 7th and 8th grade, I played the bass with my chorus. And it was just like strumming, and it was a double bass. And you would think I never even heard the term double bass then, but it was acoustic or stand-up bass. but it is a double bass. But it was just basically dung, dung, you know, kind of bass chords to Scarborough Fair, I think, something like that. So because it's such a big instrument, and you think, I just couldn't take it beyond that. So here you have found this affinity with this instrument, and you're going all the way with it. And that's what we're here for, to help you do a fundraiser to get the proceeds, and the money will help you go to Beijing, China.
Okay, now, Katie, you're also in the Shasta Youth Symphony and also the Shasta Adult Symphony.
Yeah,
with Dr. Corbin, right?
Yeah.
So you're just, a virtuoso when it comes to the double bass, let's say. Okay, now, we're talking to Katie Wallace. She has been selected to go to Beijing, China to perform at the Philharmonic Concert Hall with other young adults and other older people.
Actually, they're basically all about my age.
Okay, so about 16.
Yeah.
And we're going to help her raise money. And the way we're going to do that is on January 9th, they're going to have a murder mystery benefit dinner. It's going to be at the Senior Citizens Hall there on Benton Drive. Lasagna dinner, raffle, live music, and the theater. And you can get your tickets at Clyde's Entertainment, Bernie's Guitar, The Brass Reed, Hot Cut Salon, and Leatherbees.
And a shout out to Don Shulman, because he's the one who introduced us to you. And do you have any closing thoughts? I mean, before we close the segment, anything you'd like to say, Katie?
I just want to say that I'm really thankful that I'm able to do what I do, and I just love classical music. It's so fun, and I'm really glad I get to go to China.
How much would the tickets cost?
The tickets are $20 per person, and if you buy a table of eight, it's $120, which is $40 off.
Okay. Well, Katie, you're a beautiful young lady and obviously very talented, and we'll continue to help with this.
Your mom must be proud.
getting your funds for this. So, anyway, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:53, December 10th. There are phone lines here, 605-4567, and you're chatting with us at KCNR1460.com. Okay, our last segment here before we hit the 8 o'clock hour. Our guest during the 8 o'clock hour will be the Shasta County District Attorney, Jerry Benito. And he's outside grabbing a cup of coffee. You know, there's just a couple of things we'll hit real quick here. Johnson & Johnson soft shoes. Or their soft shoes, Rolaids anti-acids, have issued a recall since consumers are starting to find wood and metal bits in the tablets.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. It was voluntarily recalling all lots of its soft shoes after potentially uncovering problems. And this is the latest in a string of pull products for Johnson & Johnson's McNeil consumer unit. A lot of things are, you know, they're talking about it. It affects about 130 lots. But, you know, the thing is that Johnson & Johnson has said, well, you know, a lot of the stuff is made, you know, we subcontract this out we make it, but it's, you know, it's packaged someplace else and everything. But, you know, it can't do any, you know, it can't help the company during this time. You know, here's something I don't understand. The Democrats are fighting Obama on the tax deal. You know, I'm listening to it, I'm reading stuff. You know, it says, well, wait a minute, we're giving those rich people, those people making $250,000 a year, we're giving them a tax break. Well, yeah, they pay more taxes anyway. And you consider that half this country doesn't pay taxes. But anyway, Obama says, obviously what the people are saying, and I'm starting to hear it, is what our plans were before just don't work. Whatever that plan was that received that Nobel Peace Prize, those ideas going forward didn't work. So, you know, okay, so we're going to extend the Bush tax cut for 2 years. Not only that, we're going to give a Social Security, give a little cut in how much you're paying in Social Security, 2%. We're going to take a look at the death tax so that we're not going to just, just take property away from people because they're successful and they work for it, and then somebody dies and they're extending that a little bit. They're going to take part of it. And, but the Democrats now are fighting this. And behind in closed door meetings with four letter words being used at each other, and mutinous Democrats chanting, just say no. You know, how come they couldn't chant, yes, we can, yes, we can? How much has happened in 2 years? You know what I really like, too? Keith Olbermann. I hate him. Keith Olbermann. What happened to Obama? Well, Keith.
Reality.
Reality set in. You know, you can look at being extremely liberal. You can look at being way out there. When you're not in power, that's fine. You can look out there and go, okay, those are some weird ideas, but okay, but they've got ideas out there. But once it comes to power and it's tried and you find out it's a huge, huge mistake, take a step back. I'm not sure Obama's doing that. I mean, I think he's been hit in the face. Our unemployment is at 9.8%, and there's, you know, but they cheer. They cheer when there's only 412,000 new unemployment requests put in or for assistance. It's cheering to people. It's only 412,000 instead of 456,000, like it has been for the last 18 weeks in a row. Something wrong here, my friends. Something wrong here. Anyway, so you go on with that. You know, and so who's against it? Pelosi galore, of course.
Oh, my God. Let's explain how that name came about.
Pelosi galore? Okay, you know what?
James Bond.
No. Well, everybody knows James Bond, but, you know, for us, it came from Dennis Miller. We like Dennis Miller. And we listened to it, and our friends listened to it. And, yes, okay, you chat guys, if I get into my friend's car, yes, KCNR is on their radio. It's set in there. They tell me. Why would they lie? Listeners on our show do not lie. They are stand-up types. I'm not too sure about the chat room. All right. Here's the thing about it, though, is that somebody called in and they said that. And I'm sorry, but that kind of just stuck in my mind. Anyway, Ms. Pelosi is she's quite unhappy about it, too. Anyway, here's what the bottom line is. The president is having to fight his own party to bring a good idea to the table and get it voted on. Go figure. All right. One last thing before we hit the break.
You better.
What?
You better just get it out.
Yeah, I got to get this thing. What is going on with Robert Gates? He is still pushing Congress to lift a ban on gays serving openly in the military, saying he was disappointed by the Senate's failure to act this week and fearful of leaving this issue to the uncertainty of the courts. Well, I am... You know, having the courts, you know, solve it is quite scary to me because they had one judge who has no concept of military service or war or maybe else or common sense. You know, I'm not even sure she's a member of the human species who said, oh, yeah, let's just do away with it right now in the middle of the war. No training, just let's bring them in. Thank God somebody up in a higher level in some place in San Francisco said, no, not so fast. Okay, so what it is that... And then so you get the service chiefs in there, Marines, Army, Navy, and they all said, this is not a time to change anything. We've got two wars going on. Or don't you people remember it? And so what happens? Gates. Oh, no, we got to change this. Maybe it's time for Gates to find a new job. Okay, we're going to take a break here.
When we come back, we're going to ask our listeners, did you know the guys who survived the crocodile attack?
That's right. We had some live right here.
Mount Shasta.
Mount Shasta.
Wow.
That's
what
right.
A horrific story.
Our guest, when we come back, will be Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito, talking about what Jerry's doing, what he's going to do, and the Shasta County District Attorney Office. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It's 8:05 on December the 10th, 2010.
Today we have 50% chance of showers with high of 58. And the weather's always brought to you by Ensemble. Well, you know, tonight's going to be showers, Saturday, partly cloudy Saturday night. And then on Sunday we have a beautiful day on Sunday with a sunny high of 67. So we've got a nice forecast. I think we should just be very grateful when it rains. Bring it on.
You know, tomorrow, I want to remind everybody, at Rees Across America up at IGO. We'll begin at 12 noon.
Cemetery at IGO.
Yeah, the cemetery at IGO. And what happens is there'll be a ceremony up there remembering our fallen heroes. Linda will be singing the national anthem. And then after some appropriate words and some Rees laid at in special areas, then everybody that comes up there will then have a chance to take a wreath and take it to a headstone and put it up against a headstone to remember our fallen during this holiday season. I urge people to go up there. Tomorrow we'll be there, of course. Get up there a little bit before noon, and to ensure that you have parking and you get to go there. Also, one other thing is, we talked about it earlier, but I want to mention it again, is that there's going to be it'll be a craft fair, the Homespun Crafts Fair on Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 on Saturday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. To raise money for the Good News Rescue Mission for Cub Scout Pack 41 and Shasta Meadows Elementary School PTO. And it's being put on by Carl and Elizabeth Hawkins. Carl's one of our show hosts, and they are doing this thing. It's been a tough year for them, but they are still giving. They're still helping. Okay, our guest, who is sitting there, looking dapper and
ready
and,
to go.
And wrinkles.
We're really happy to have you with us this
Shasta,
morning.
Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito.
Welcome, good morning. Jerry.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Carl, Linda.
Well,
always
a
pleasure
to see
be here.
You.
Well, we like to have those on our show that have an effect on the county and our city and the North State. And you have been one of those who have had an effect on the people and how we do business and everything. So thanks for coming aboard.
My pleasure.
So, District Attorney Jerry Benito, I know you get asked this question all the time, so let's just ask it up front. What happens here in January?
Well, actually, I'll be leaving office on December 30th.
Okay.
And I think it's on January 4th, Mr. Carlton will be sworn in as the district attorney, and he'll walk in and take over the office. We are doing everything we can to keep the office running as smoothly as it has over the years. We are facing tremendous shortages in staff. We've had several people leave since the election, and we have not been able to fill those positions. So we're running extremely short. Fortunately, between Thanksgiving and the first of the year is generally the slowest time period in the court system. So we're very fortunate that our shortage is coinciding with that slowdown.
I don't want to get political here, but are the people leaving because of the change, and or is it because they believe that there's going to be changes anyway when Mr. Carlton comes in?
Many of them are leaving. Almost all of my management staff will be gone.
Okay.
They're retiring. They were staying as long as I was going to be there, so they're leaving. We have some of the lower end attorneys, and I mean lower end as newer attorneys,
right,
who are on probation, who, because of rumors, heard that they were going to be losing their jobs, so they went ahead and took opportunities in other counties. So we're down about, as of today, we'll be down three attorneys, and all of my management staff will have retired.
Well, who's taking their places right now?
Nobody. What happened is I started recruitment in July because I knew these people were leaving, and I sent a letter to Mr. Carlton saying we're starting this recruitment because we're very shorthanded. And I offered him the opportunity to make the final selection. We would go through, the 60 candidates and get it down to about 15 or 20 and let him choose. And he refused and told the CAO, Larry Lees, that he did not want those positions filled. So I honored that request because I didn't want to bring people up to Shasta County just to have them let go in January.
Okay.
So we're running shorthanded, but my staff's doing a great job.
Okay. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, our first break. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our guest is Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're chatting, as many of you all are, on KCNR1460.com. All you have to do is just go to our website, KCNR1460.com.
Or give us a call,
and then click on the show, and then it'll pop up, and then you will go right to the chat room, and you can start just putting your comments in there, too. But let's go to the phones right now. Bruce, good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning, Carl, Lynn, and Jerry.
Good morning.
I have a question for the DA there.
Sure.
What upside is there to this illegal immigrant or displaced foreigner, whatever the classification he is now, that ran into the cars the other day drunk, had been drunk in Utah and a couple other states, I guess? what would be the upside to issuing a deal through ICE so he can't leave the country? Don't we want these guys like this out of the country? And the other thing I want, because we're going to have to run, then we'll take it off the air, is don't we have the California Penal Code 834B, and why isn't that being enforced with all our local sheriffs and our policemen so we can more and get these guys off the street? And I do thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. The illegal immigrant issue is a really tough one for us to deal with locally because, you know, the initial reaction is let's ship them back to Mexico and not waste our taxpayer money prosecuting them and putting them in jail or prison, etc. The problem with that is if you simply put them on a bus and send them back, they will probably beat the bus driver home tonight in Shasta County. So what we've done in Shasta County is we've, at least under my administration, is we've taken those people and we make sure that they are given prison sentences if they commit felonies. In fact, our policy is that they should not be on probation, meaning they're reporting to a probation officer in Shasta County. And when they go to prison, they serve there 2 years, 3 years, and then they're put on a bus going back to Mexico. And the reason for that is that they at least have a consequence. When they go back to Mexico, they can tell their friends and tell themselves, don't go to Shasta County because you have to sit in a prison for a couple years before you get the bus ride home. And we've done that. As far as the local jail, we simply do not have the space to hold many people locally. We simply don't. You know, one-third of the jail is closed and has been now for a little over a year. And that means we barely have room for some of the more violent offenders that we have within our own county. And I know the sheriff's doing the best he can. He just simply doesn't have the resources to hold on to all the illegal immigrants that we have here, as well as the violent offenders that are homegrown.
Well, you know, the illegal problem keeps coming up. And luckily we're getting, and I shouldn't say luckily, but across the board with what the sheriff says and what you're saying is that, you know, hey, we grab them, if, you know, they either go to jail or we call the ICE people to come get them. Yeah. And so that they're not being ignored once you find out that they're here illegally.
What disturbed me early on in, you know, in doing this kind of work was that we would have illegal aliens commit a felony offense, and they go into court, and they're sentenced, you know, accordingly, and the judge would say, you are hereby ordered to report to the probation department monthly. And I'd say, wait, time out, judge. He's here illegally. Why are you telling him to come back into our county to report to a probation officer? It made no sense. But we sometimes, in the criminal justice system, once they're in our court system, we think of them as American citizens. They get all the rights of American citizens, but they're not. They're here illegally. And that's why our policy was if they committed a felony, we took a no probation stance. They had to go to state prison because
why would you turn them loose? They're not supposed to be here.
That's right. Yeah. Why would you say, okay, now go back out into the community? They should not have the freedom to walk around our community.
What I would like to say to you and to our listeners for the record is that while you were practicing and the leader of our community as district attorney and still are, that through the course of the years when Carl and I would call kind of questioning why this, why that, you were always available. You made yourself or someone in your staff always available to come on the air and talk about. We know that there's three or four different cases. Of course, the chat room's flying all about Stewart cases that still people have a bone to pick about. But that you, as a leader and in your position, always came forth. And I want to personally, I'm sure Carl does, we want to thank you for, you know, standing up and just taking your own personal stand. I'm sure that's what someone in your position needs to do. So thank you for always being available.
Yeah, you know, we didn't always agree with your decisions. And
that's expected.
And that's
right.
Expected. And yet you would come on and defend it and against many other people that would call. And but it's you're sitting in a different position than everybody else is. And people don't understand a lot of it.
Right. And I'll tell you, one of the most important things to me is as an elected official or anybody who has any power at all in our government structure is transparency. You understand that people are not always going to agree, especially when it comes to the law. They're not always going to agree. But the most important thing is to let people know what the situation is, where you stand, why you stand there. and then allow people to agree or disagree. What always irritated me the most over all the years is when people would disagree without knowing any of the facts. You know, they heard a rumor, and I can't tell you how many times a citizen would call just on the off chance that they would get me, when they would get me. And they would say, I'm very angry about this. And I said, well, what do you know about it? And they would tell me the very small amount of facts. I would give them the rest of the story. And 9 times out of 10, they would say, oh, I agree with you. Every once in a while, they would say, I don't agree, but I understand. Now it makes perfect sense, and I, you know, they could respect the decision. And that's all I would ever ask is that, you know, not just for me, but for any elected official or any situation, if you think that it doesn't sound right, it probably is not right. The facts are probably wrong. And I would encourage you, call elected officials, because you'll be surprised how many of them will return your call and will take the time to answer your questions. I think people are afraid. Usually they say, you're so busy, we wouldn't expect a return call. And instead I get the call from people who think aliens are living in their refrigerators or freezers. We get those as well. But I encourage you, don't be afraid to call elected officials, your representatives. That's what they're there for.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Our guest is Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito. We've got a lot of questions coming through in the chat room. If you've got want to ask a question, 605-4567. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, 8:24 in the morning. Carl Lindebot, 605-4567, or jump into the chat room. Our guest is Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito. Jerry, a lot of the comments here in the chat room as they go back and forth were on decisions made while you were district attorney. Some that had probably had telling effects. We were talking about it a little bit during the break. You had some comments there that people need to hear.
Well, you know, as far as you know, looking back on decisions from a legal standpoint and ethical standpoint. And for the performance of my job, I don't regret any of the decisions that I made because they were the right ones under the law. You know, if you look at the decisions from a political standpoint, well, obviously, I would have changed those decisions for political purposes, and that is not the job of the district attorney. I mean, we're a country based on laws and people not being above the law. And that means that we have to apply the law regardless of the impact it will have on me personally. And I some people will point to one decision, you know, about a year ago. But I can tell you there are many decisions that the district attorney has to make over the course of their career that you weigh what the correct thing to do is under the law and ethically and, you know, as a lawyer versus the political impact or public impact. And you weigh those, just as I did in the one particular case, and I knew it would have political fallout, but I have to be able to look myself in the mirror. I have to uphold the honor of the office, which is to follow the law, whether I like it or not. That's what I have to do, and the remedy is not to, for me to just make the wrong decision so that I can gain politically. The way to correct that is to go to the legislature and change the law. If you don't like the way the law is written, that's our mechanism. And decisions cannot be made by a straw poll or by public opinion. It's just that's not the way our system is designed. And it would have disastrous effects if the loudest party was the party that actually won out every time we were in court.
I would think it would be hard on some levels because your job, like you said, your job is to interpret the law. When, not just in your case, but one who is following the books, would go and know that if something just wasn't right, but you had to follow the law when you might personally or passionately feel it should be another way. I would think that would be such a hard place in your heart. So I think your job, what you do, is just really, it takes a certain person to be able to carry out the law. And wow, congratulations for doing it.
Yeah. Well, and think of it this way: I'm sure there are soldiers over there in Iraq and Afghanistan who are not happy about being there because they disagree with why we're there. But they're there. They're there fighting for our country because they took an oath. They stood up and said, I will do this because this is what my country requires of me, even if they may personally have a problem with being there. And that's part of being an American. That's part of our system, is following oaths, following through with what our Constitution and what our state laws require of us.
Well, you know, a lot of people, and there's still the disagreements in the chat room are going.
Between the people.
Among the people in there. And which is what you would expect.
Which is common.
But they, they're all, you know, the ones that hop in our chat room, for the, almost all of them, in fact, are, you know, they
civil.
Go back, they're civil, and they research. I mean, you don't see any names being called or anything like that, unlike you see in, you know, maybe some other blogs, but they get, unless it's something they're describing my driving or something. But the bottom line is this, is that the decisions that were made during your tenure, it'll be interesting to see what happens when the next district attorney comes on with Mr. Carlton. Steve never said, and some people don't understand, I mean, they missed this, Steve never said that he was going to prosecute any case. And he made it real clear. I mean, he made it real clear up front that he never said he was going to prosecute a case that's already been decided on. What he said was that he'd look at each one of them. So, you know, people think that there's going to be a lot of changes. It'll be interesting to see what will happen. But there was no promises made, and I don't know if people really understand that.
Well, and I could probably count on two hands the number of people who have actually read and reviewed every part of the case. There really are very few of us that have actually read everything. Most of what people know comes from the
media.
And
you're talking about the Martinez, Martinez case.
Yes,
that's
in particular.
What we're talking about, right.
Right.
Well, you know, and so it will be interesting to see what happens at the beginning of the next, you know, at the next district attorney. We've got like about 40 seconds left, so I want to ask you about, you know, for you in the future, and then, but also to talk about, you know, some of the things that have been accomplished during your tenure when we come back. I know that, you know, that one of them, the Family Justice Center, I'd like to talk about that some more. And also, you know, other things that you're proud of what happened during your tenure here. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Our guest is Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott, 8:34 in the morning. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, our favorite place there. To go in and get a good, great cigar and a good cup of coffee at a great price. Joe and Shelly have got a fine emporium there, finest walk-in humidor in the state. They do a lot for our community. Espresso Joe's is a great place to get that coffee, but also the coffee beans, all those little special presents for Christmas, and how to make a great cup of coffee. They have all the products there to help you with that, and the girls will show you how. That's Tobacco and Brew at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelly, great supporters of this community. Our guest, Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito. Jerry, lots happened while you've been District Attorney. Tell us what you're most proud of here.
Well, right now, and I'll clarify that in a bit, right now I'm probably most proud of the efforts we made related to DUIs, drunk driving. Because we reduced the number of people killed by over 40%. We brought a ton of money to Shasta County from Sacramento. And we also improved the conviction rate up to the second highest in the state, which is pretty impressive. And these are not things that occur overnight, of course. They started 5-6 years ago. You know, when I'm trying to garner support from the law enforcement, the courts, probation, we were able to do that. And all of us together, we're able to make that huge difference, and that's probably what I'm most proud of, because that means there are people whose lives were saved. And with drunk driving, unlike, you know, murders and some of the other cases, generally it's an innocent person. It's your son, daughter, your parents, or you driving on the road and killed by a drunk driver. And because that number is down, I'm extremely proud, and I hope that continues into the future.
Now, a lot of that depends on getting grants from the from the state and feds, though, doesn't it?
It didn't initially. Okay. I mean, a lot of times what the state and feds want to see is they want to see that you've done something, that you have some ideas, that you are putting things in motion. They don't like throwing money at a community if they don't believe that they're going to get their money's worth.
Yeah.
So we've done that, and we picked up another grant for the fourth year in a row, which is almost unheard of with Sacramento, for felony DUIs to make a difference there. And that just started October 1st, and I'm hoping that that will carry on.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, DUIs, you know, it's just like you said. I mean, you can do everything right, and if somebody comes out of a side road that's drunk, and the tragedy is just touches so many people.
Yeah, and you know, when you're talking to the you know, the parents are asking you when they come into my office, why did this happen? And that's a very difficult question to answer when it comes to a drunk driver, because their loved one really didn't do anything wrong.
It's like, do you have a policy for people who've had more than one drunk driving? I mean, ones that just enrage me are the ones you say, oh, this is the third or fourth time this guy's been picked up.
Yeah, we had, that's one of the things we did early on, is with the second time drunk driver, which is still a misdemeanor, if they haven't hurt anybody, under the law it's still a misdemeanor, we had very, very stringent conditions. They would be on formal probation, they couldn't go into bars, they couldn't have alcohol, had to have a ignition interlock device. There were a number of things we did, and like I said, we had to get buy-in from the probation and the court system to actually make that happen, and we were able to do that.
One of the things also, you know, questions, of course, I want to honor some of the questions of our listeners that are wanting to ask direct questions. One is, how is the methamphetamine situation? And the other would be, have you seen a rise of gangs, meaning illegal, out of Southern California, and or bike gangs?
Yes. Oh, perfect question. First on the methamphetamine, that was another thing I was going to mention that I'm really proud of. We reduced the number of methamphetamine cases that were actually filed in our office, I mean submitted to our office, by over 50%.
Wow.
Because one of the policies I changed a few years ago, probably about 4 years ago, was that all methamphetamine possession cases would be charged as felonies, because they can be charged as a misdemeanor, which is much lower. And the reason for that is cocaine, heroin, all the other drugs you think of are felonies under the law. But methamphetamine is not. It's treated lighter. And I felt that meth being the biggest problem should be treated as seriously as those other drugs.
Well,
so
it seems like
meth is a bigger problem than anything else we've got around here.
It is, but it's actually down by over 50%. We saw a steady decline after that change of policy. Yes, it was actually worse, believe it or not.
Wow. Okay, well, you know, but that's...
And then the gangs.
Yeah, the gangs.
Okay, now, I'm really proud of how we fought, we as in Shasta County, fought the gangs in the early 90s, and I was on the front lines of that, and we drove the Asian gangs that were trying to come here. We had the drive-by shootings, we had our only gang murder, we had lots of problems.
I heard you guys had a cleanup crew that came in, and if they had any kind of signage or whatever that's called, you know, when there's a name for it, what's it called?
Graffiti.
Besides graffiti, tagging. Yeah, you guys had a crew that came in, and boom, it was just taken off the next day.
And the crews still exist. We need to beat them up a little bit more. And we've been able to keep those gangs down. And you'll note that the gang activity started a week after the election. And I don't believe that's a coincidence. At that time, you know, I had lost the election, and we had taken a very tough stand. The chief at that time had announced he was retiring, and it was going to be at the end of December. So from the gang perspective, and believe me, they are watching us very carefully, they saw a void. They saw the DA leaving and the chief leaving, and they came in. And they came in hard. And, of course, then the chief announced he's staying. I've announced I'm staying, and we have taken already two of the gang members off. One of them, of course, is still on the run. But we have a no-holds-barred type of approach to gangs, and I hope that continues, because once gangs get established in a community, you cannot get them out.
What do you think about the pot shops up here, because there's so many pot shops? We've got to take a break. I'm just wondering if that also, if you say people are watching, I would think around the world, where's it easiest to make a little money? I think maybe the pot shops, but I'd love to get your take on that.
That's a good point. Yeah. Okay, we've got to take a break. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Athens Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue, D.C. Tim and the Man in Black. It's Friday. Get those haircut if you haven't gotten them done yet. Great prices. They have give great haircuts. And if you're a veteran, you get a discount there. They are great supporters of our community. And it is man's last stronghold, let me tell you. Man's last stronghold, Cypress Square Barbershop. Go there. Great conversation. Great haircuts. Okay, our guest today is Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito. You know, one of the things we're talking about is accomplishments during your tenure here, and the other one you really wanted to talk about was the Family Justice Center.
Correct. I said with the DUIs, that's the one I'm most proud of right now because it has saved lives. The Family Justice Center that we opened up on September 1st, I think in the future, 5 years from now, if you ask me, that's probably going to be the number one thing I'm most proud of. Because I think by that time, it will have saved lives. Right now, we have hundreds of people coming in already trying to get help. And for those who don't know, the Shasta Family Justice Center is a place where victims of violent crime can go and get all the services they need in one location. They don't have to travel around the county or the city to find the services. The services are there or will be brought to them. So I think 5 years from now, if you ask me, I think that's going to top the list of what I'm most proud of.
I think it's going to have a huge impact, yeah. Okay. Okay, hey, let's go to the phones. Jim, line one.
Yeah, Jerry, I just wanted to say how much I appreciate what the good work you did and tried to get done. Just sorry you didn't make it. What happens to all the cases that you people have been investigating and doing, and when all your staff and everybody leaves, does that have to start all over again from ground zero, or is all that lost, or what happens?
No.
I'll give an answer off the air.
Okay, Jim, thanks.
Thank you, Jim, for the nice comments. But no, the transition should be seamless because the people who are actually going to court and handling those cases will still be there, at least initially. And so they'll continue to handle their cases. They're very well trained. They're professionals. They know what to do. I think when you're a good manager, you should be able to walk away and know that the policies will continue even when you're gone. So I know they're going to continue to do a great job, and then Mr. Carlton can come in and make the changes he wants, and he'll be able to supervise them the way he chooses.
Okay. All right. Let's go to John on line two. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda. Good morning, Dad,
good morning.
Bob. And good morning, Jerry Benito. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning.
This is John, and how's things going?
Good.
Are you ready for this transition?
It's always difficult. Always difficult to let go of something that you love.
Are you going to hang for a while afterwards?
Well, I'm not sure what that means. My term ends.
I can stick around to help ease through the transition of those cases and whatnot.
Well, I'll be here for that, but I've been here for the last 6 months available for that. Yeah, so.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say thanks for your service to Shasta County. I think all in all, you've done a really good job, and you know I've been a supporter of yours, or maybe you don't know, but I have been.
Thank you.
And you know I disagreed with you on the Adam Martinez case and feel that decision cost you the office. I've told you that before, and there's no surprises there. Are you now going to become a criminal defense attorney?
As far as my future plans, I still don't have those firmed up, and right now the options that I have available to me are I'm keeping private between my family and I. Leaving public life does have one positive aspect, and that is that I am able to keep things a little bit more private than I might have been able to before. Yes.
Well, listen, I have a last question.
Sure.
And this is probably the most important thing I could ask you. Do you think that the budgetary limits and constraints that are being placed on the office now are going to have an effect on future prosecutions?
Yes. There is a change that has occurred over the last several months, in fact. We generally get about $250,000 from the state from the VLF, vehicle license fee. That was not included in the budget, which means it will expire on June 30th of 2011. That's $250,000. That's three attorneys. Those are the attorneys that do our elder abuse, career criminals, which are the three strikers, child sexual assault, and our major narcotics vendor cases. That's three attorneys. The sheriff's office, I think it's about a $1.5 million hit. It's huge. And right now, there is no effort in the legislature to restore that money for public safety.
I find this terribly frightening, to be honest with you, because law enforcement not being able to function by way of prosecution is going to be a really bad call for this county.
You know what? It is difficult, but there are always solutions. There are always ways of making it happen if you really want to. So it's going to require a lot of innovation and expertise to get through it, and sacrifice.
Hey, John, thanks for your call.
You're right.
We got a break here, and thanks for your comments in the chat room.
Let me just say thanks to Jerry one more time, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate everything you've done, Jerry.
Thank you, John.
Bye.
All right,
bye.
Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire
Radio, KCNR 1460.
Down. No, I won't.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda, live. Portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, Airport Road. He's putting in free dish satellite. He's got rebates. Give him a call. Doug Tooley, 244-1988. That's 244-1988. Get Heather on the phone and get a great deal from Doug Tooley and B&T Satellite. Our guest is Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito. And we've got all types of questions here. Jay. We only got a couple minutes left.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Morning.
Morning.
Well, Mr. Benito, I'd just like to thank you for your service, sir. I thought you did a good job, and I feel that you kind of fell to a anti-incumbent kind of attitude this year, but I feel you did a good job, and I wanted to say so on the air.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Jay. It's really been my pleasure to serve the citizens of Shasta County, and as I was saying to a group the other day, I really feel blessed that I had, 7.5 years to run that office, and I got to work with some tremendous people, not just in the office, but in the community, and including Carl and Linda. I mean, it's been fantastic seeing them at different events and all the wonderful things that they do for the community as well.
Well, you had a very tough case, the Martinez case. I felt personally you did the right thing. I have a wife and 2 daughters and feel very strongly about people not messing with them. So I felt you did a very good job. You and the law enforcement managed to keep the gangs, for the most part, out of our town where everywhere else they're being overrun. So thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
Hey, Jay, thanks a lot for the phone call. Okay, Bob. Bad Bob, you have a question about cybercrime.
Well, yes. You know, Brendan and I have covered this several times on our show. Jerry, during your tenure nationally, there's just been this huge spike in cybercrime, and now we're hearing things about ATM skimming, phone calls, all kinds of scams. Are these cutbacks that we're hearing about, is that going to limit possibly the office's ability to respond to these threats, and what do people need to do to protect themselves?
Well, first of all, I would say that that type of crime has been around for a long time. We've been putting out press releases, PSAs, for years about how people can avoid being victims of those types of crimes. They've become a little bit more sophisticated as time goes, but they're essentially the same. As far as whether the resources will be there to fight those crimes, that depends on the administration. Yes, we have grants that are dedicated to certain areas of crime, but there's a large pool of money that the DA has the authority to direct towards certain types of crimes that they feel are important. You know, for me, DUIs and the meth and some of the other areas. So that'll be up to the new administration. As far as how people can protect themselves, watch your accounts very carefully. And I'll tell a real short story. Last Christmas, we were a victim. My wife was at the Galleria down there in Roseville and bought something for our granddaughter. One thing. And the clerk there swiped the card twice. First time said, oh, it didn't take. Can I do it again? And my wife said, sure. Swiped it a second time. And when I was checking the account a couple days later, I asked my wife, I said, you must have bought me one heck of a Christmas present because there was a lot of money that was gone. And later found out the bank called me the next day, fortunately, and said, are you in Arizona, L.A., and other places all at the same time? And I said, no, I'm right here in Reading. And somebody had used the card all over the place, and we've got it all cleaned up. But it's that quick. It's that quick. You won't even know it.
It doesn't even take a day. They take they'll steal the number, and then they'll even put it on another card with a different name on it, and it'll work.
That's right. They did not have her card.
Right.
Because I asked her, I said, where's your card? And we had all of our cards.
Oh, no. They just need the number.
They double swipe it. And so you have to be very careful Never let the card out of your sight if you can, and watch your counts. And the minute you see any activity that is suspicious, you call and cancel the card.
Well, okay. Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito. You've got about 2 minutes left, and you've already told people that, hey, it's essentially you're kind of like checking out everything right now for the future.
I am. My son's going to be graduating from high school in June, so my wife and I could really go anywhere. We do want to stay in Shasta County. We love this community. My boys were born here. They were raised here. They're both graduating from high school from this area. I have a tremendous love for this community. On the other hand, if I want to advance in my career, there's not much more above district attorney in Shasta County, so that would require that I leave the area. So we are looking at a number of options. But at this point, I'm keeping those options and those decisions very private between my wife and my family and I. But when we do make some final decision, I'll let people know, because I know there's still a lot of people out there that are very caring and loving people in this community.
Well, we wish you and your family a very, very Merry Christmas and a safe holiday. And we hope that whatever you decide to do, I'm sure that you'll find many blessings on your journeys. And, we just thank you again for your service here in Shasta County.
Well, thank you. As I said, God really blessed me by giving me the opportunity to do this job for 7.5 years, and I know whatever he has in store for me in the future will be just as tremendous.
Okay, we've got more comments here, but hey, did they ever catch the person that ripped you off?
No.
On the credit card? Because
no.
That's pretty difficult to do, I think.
No, because she had only used it once.
Right.
I had the receipt with the exact time, date, stamp, and clerk name. And I called the store down there, I won't mention their name, and they said they had video. And unfortunately then, I turned it over to law enforcement, and I haven't heard much since then. But the bank covered all the charges, and everything is back to normal. But it sure scares you. It's a good thing it wasn't an ATM card, because that will clean out your checking and your savings. And you have trouble recovering some of that money. Yeah.
That's why I check ours every day, huh?
Yes.
And because sometimes when you do it, they'll take out two times, and then they'll put it back in the next day for whatever reason that is.
Yeah, the banks are very good about it.
All right. Hey, Jerry, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your service. I'm sure we'll run into each other again here over the next in our future. Hey, our guest on Monday will be Mike Mangus. Channel 7 is going to be here.
Oh.
We're going to talk about him and TV. I like that. I like that idea. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR.
See you
1460.
Tomorrow.
No, we won't. Tomorrow's Saturday.
I know, but we're going to see you
at the
Reeves.
Go to
the Reeves.
Just remember, it's a good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.